There's a new record out called Postcards of the Hanging. The Grateful Dead performed the songs of Bob Dylan, but since I produced it, I can't exactly interview myself about it, so I've invited Gary Lambert, editor of the Grateful Dead Almanac, to conduct this interview. Hello.
David, Postcards of the Hanging is a project that's been bandied about for some time.
I did a three-part Grateful Dead Hour series several years ago of all of the Dead's Dylan covers, and at that time I pitched it to Grateful Dead Records as a project. It actually, you know, as things tend to do in that world, took a little while to actually come to fruition, but it did indeed, and here it is.
And the research and development on the album, other than the compilation you did a few years ago, you also had a fair amount of advice and consent and kibitzing from your friends in the Dead taping community and the online world, I believe.
Yes, indeed. These things are always better when they're passed through many sets of ears. There's a lot of people in this world who know this music well, people who love Bob Dylan and people who love the Grateful Dead, and people like me and you who love both Bob Dylan and the Grateful Dead. So there was no shortage of opinions and suggestions, and it's sort of silly to imagine one person listening to every known version of a given song, especially ones that were in the repertoire for so long. So I asked around and asked people what their opinions were. In the Well, where you and I both hang out, there has long been a conference full of discussions about the best versions of various songs. So I started there, but I spoke to the fellows who contribute to the Deadheads Taping Compendium, and checked over on DeadNet and asked for opinions there. So there were a lot of different people throwing ideas into this pot. And of course, David Lemieux, the archivist in the vault, has very, very big ears, and he came up with a lot of suggestions that wound up being the final ones.
There's a certain point in this winnowing process where you get it down to one version or another. And a famous decision-making quandary in Grateful Dead is recording quality pristine, but performance has a few glitches in it, or incredibly incendiary performance. But you know, there are always trade-offs. How do you get to that point where you say version A over version B?
Ideally, you want to have both really great performances and really well recorded performances. You can't always have both, but we chose stuff largely from the late 80s because, A, that's when the greatest density of Dylan tunes was happening, but also because there were a lot of multi-track recordings from that time, and there were some pretty high-quality soundboard tapes being made in that period. So we had a fairly decent pool of high-grade recordings from which to choose. And the hard part really is catching that perfect performance, and by perfect I don't mean absolutely note perfect, not a thing out of place, but where there aren't any major stumbles over lyrics and stuff. Because with Bob Dylan tunes, the lyrics are the thing, you know, and if you leave out a line, you leave out a verse, it definitely affects the overall thing. We did wind up using a version of Desolation Row that is missing a verse, and the one that we wanted to use, the sort of consensus choice about Desolation Row, was December 31st, 86. But the recording of it, this was really Joe Gastwirt's call. When I got to L.A. with all the tapes, and Joe Gastwirt, who's a stone Deadhead, by the way, although I'm not sure the industry knows that about him.
And a brilliant mastering engineer, we should point out to those who don't know.
When we got everything into the machine and started listening to it in context, Joe made the call and said, you know, this just isn't happening. The recording was just a little washed out sounding compared to the rest of the stuff. Jeffrey Norman did these fantastic mixes of five of the tunes for the main CD. And in that context created by those great recordings, the 1231-86 was just lacking a lot. It was kind of mushy in the middle. So we put an emergency call in to David back up in Novato, and he went through and pulled out a bunch of versions that our notes told us were good and sent them down to us. And Joe and I listened to them very carefully the next day. And then we called up there and said, well, the one we want to use is 324-90. And Jeffrey Norman kicked the trichromes out of the studio, I think, and mixed it for us, you know, on very short notice, which was very much appreciated.
Dr. Phil, he keeps his world inside of a leather cup. with sexless patience. They're all trying to blow it up. And his nurse, some local loser, she's in charge of the cyanide hole. And she also keeps the cards in reach. Have mercy on his soul.
It isn't perfect. Phil stumbles over a line, I think, in Just Like Tom Thumb's Blues. But we wound up with stuff that works really, really well, and particularly the stuff that was mixed from multitrack. Just fantastic sounding performances. The All Along the Watchtower that David suggested is just incendiary.
Yeah, that was often a blow the roof off the dump number at countless dead shows.